America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
You can say for free. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the RHAP B&B for week 6 of Big Brother at 22. I'm Mike Bloom here to begin the jury process in one of definitely the most eventful week in Big Brother 22 so far, if not one of the most eventful weeks in recent Big Brother. We have assembled an all-star panel, as per usual, to break down the halfway point of this season. Of course, let me welcome in my other half to this halfway point in terms of the B&B, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm good. I have my tiny podcast notes ready to go. And I think we can break all of this down with, again, my tiny little pencil, my tiny mouse. I think everything should just be miniature themed this week, given the veto competition.
Are you one of those people who has like miniature office things that like I feel like people put like little cars on their desks or like a little pad and paper that actually can't be used to your point, and more so to, I don't know, call to some sort of aesthetic?
I think tiny things are really adorable. I have this tiny little plant here.
Oh.
So maybe that sort of fits in the theme. I had a dollhouse growing up, so perhaps I do have an affinity for things like that. But no, full setup. Full person, no micro brews to be seen here.
Oh, darn. Well, I'm so happy to welcome this guy in for a good amount of times here in the B&B, both on Survivor and Big Brother proper. He is also the one amongst the three of us who has actually been shouted out on the Big Brother live feeds, and that should be commended for. Micro brews all around, Peridium, welcome back. How's it going?
Thank you so much, Mike. It's awesome to be here. It was a tiny shout out. It was short. And I want to point out, it was Ian who gave me the shout out first, even though Tyler got my name right. But yeah, you know, I'm happy to be here. So I think it was my fourth time on the B&B. And even though I know this week was very much themed around the tiny part of that veto and Davon's tiny win and the tiny dent it made in the overall bigger picture of the season, I'm going to come in here and we're going to have some big, big hot takes to talk about with how Big Brother 22 is going. Week 6 went with Davon, and what's going to happen going forward. So I'm very excited to be here.
That plug, that's the night I was covering for feeds, and I got so excited. I even wrote it down, and I put it in my notes here. It was at 3:04 a.m. Saturday on the 12th of September. Cam 1 and 2, Tyler in the backyard with Cody, Ian on the hammock. So I remember that moment.
I'm. It's funny you say that, because I got a YouTube notification as I was up that night, because I've been up till 4 in the morning every night watching the feeds. I got a YouTube notification. Somebody was like, Tyler gave you a shout out, which is the most random way. Usually YouTube notifications I can't predict very well, and I don't ever expect to get something like live happening as it's happening from YouTube, but maybe Twitter, or I don't know, maybe a text message. I don't know who'd be doing that. So I went back, and I had to go back. I spent about an hour up until about 4:30 in the morning figuring out how to record my screen so I could edit that. And I finished editing it that night. So it's funny you said 3:04. I was like, yeah, it was like it started at 3:03 and it lasted until about 3:06. And I was editing down and I wanted to try and create this montage of their, I learned like cornhole rules and how it works. I don't really play cornhole very often.
Because to recap for those that haven't checked out, which you actually put at the end of your most recent video, I believe Tyler and Cody were doing a cornhole game. Mm-hmm. And when they shouted you out, they requested that you put said cornhole game into your next video as a highlight reel of said cornhole game.
Yeah. And I actually watched the previous one because they referenced it. I'm like, this is insane. But this is what happens. Like, I've never been referenced on either of these shows that I've been watching. The fact that I could get to the point where I get 3 minutes on the live feeds to me is like, put me on my, like, I'm so excited. This is cloud nine. And I'm a fan of Tyler. I was rooting for Tyler in Big Brother 20. I don't think Cody actually knows who I am at all. I felt like he was just following Tyler's lead. I don't know. He was more mocking my name or making fun of it. So I cut that part out of the montage that I put together. But anyway, he did get blown out too in the first game. They were talking about that. It was like 21 to like 7. And then Tyler won the second game.
When you mock Peridium's name, like, you get your ass handed to you in Cornhole. There's power in that name.
I edited it so that he lost. We got a highlight. We got a zoom in shot of Tyler's winning throw. And yeah, Cody looked like a fool. So it is what it is. I was very excited to hear that.
Well, they talk about staying on the good side of production. What they meant was staying on the good side of Peridium. So that's the difference.
It's pretty close. Let's talk about this week. It's ironic that you say, you know, caught Cody in a bad spot, because this is a week that caught him in a very good spot, considering what he was able to pull off here in a very high wire act to where things were from maybe like Friday or Saturday all the way to Thursday. So, Liana, I want to go back to actually what I said in the beginning of this, and I'd love to hear your opinion on, we can definitely agree, I think, across the board that this is the most exciting week of Big Brother 22. So far, I think, you know, it's not really saying much. And maybe outside of like that first week where it's like, holy crap, these people are back. But there was just so much calamity going on. But in your opinion, even just looking back to like the past few seasons, how much does the craziness of this week sort of rank up to, you know, the best of the best in that regard?
Sorry, I'm having flashbacks to that very first week, and we were like, wow, which one is better? Big Brother All-Stars 1 or Big Brother All-Stars 2?
Oh, that aged well. That aged really well.
Such a good comparison. I'm pretty sure we gave the edge to this season, maybe. Oh, God.
Was that on the B&B?
I don't remember.
We went week by week. And I, you know, again, that first week was, and maybe even week two was like, interesting compared to Big Brother All-Stars 1. But yeah, I mean, listen, All-Stars 1 maybe had a slow little trot at first, but then it just sort of took off like the Roadrunner and left this season promptly in its dust.
Mm-hmm. So that's why it's hard to answer your question, because when you say, I guess it's been the best week that we've had, right? So low expectations, mm-hmm. if you're just comparing it to the rest of the season. But it's really hard to put this week within the context of other seasons that were so much better as a whole. I mean, I don't know. I just find it really difficult to make that comparison, considering how bad I think Big Brother 22 has been thus far.
Mm. Well, Peridium, let's go to you, because, you know, you do make videos every week. But I think, you know, we don't really gauge your opinion on a video just due to your subject matter as to your specific opinions on the season so far. What have you thought? We're halfway home with Big Brother 22. How has it been for you so far, aside from the shout out?
Yeah, the shout out, that was the highlight, honestly. That's where we are at this point. That was the best 3 minutes of the season for me. And not to say that I need people to shout me out. It's like, it's not a big deal, but oof. Okay. Yeah. I could probably talk for the next hour, because I usually don't talk about the current season very often on my channel, even though I am watching it until 3 a.m. every night. I just have that time, and I'm very much immersed following along with what's going on. And I will say, like, I generally with my channel try to look on for the silver lining if something's not good. And of course, if something's great, I will talk about it. Like, I loved Winners at War. So I loved it so much that I decided to make videos directly talking about the season and just the season, which I had never done before. And obviously Big Brother 22, I've not done that at all, which is somewhat by design intentional. Yeah, Big Brother 22 has not been the best season, to say the least. I plan on doing a season ranking, I think, after Big Brother 22. And I'm trying to figure out right now, every week, like, where is like a stock, like how where do I rank it with the rest of the seasons that I have a rough draft of? And it's at this point, is it the question I'm asking, is it bottom five? Because it's hovering between bottom five and like bottom seven at the moment. And I don't like to be negative, but it's not giving me a lot. There's just not a lot to chew on, unfortunately. I feel like this season has been on a macro level pretty boring, and on a micro level somewhat interesting. Like, I listen to Taryn a lot, And I know that he generally is enjoying the micro strategy, like pushing the chess piece on the board a little bit so that it moves like half an inch. And it's like, what does this mean for the rest of the pieces? And that can be interesting. And I do appreciate that. As somebody who looks at the strategy, I mean, my logo is a chess piece, so I would be feeling hypocritical if I was like, oh, that's not interesting, because it is somewhat. But there's an element to Big Brother with that I always harp on the, like, whatever can make the pendulum swing, that to me, and in a natural state, not like forcing the pendulum to swing, like with the hacker twist where it's like one competition gives one side all the power and it's kind of undeserved. I like it more when it's just through natural, like a Big Brother 6 manner where one side wins and pendulum completely swings the other way. And then if any nuance can happen, which is why Big Brother 20's pre-jury was so good, because the pendulum looked like it should be swinging left and right between side to side. And then better gameplay dictated, actually, it looks like it's on that side, but it's really over here because better players are able to convince it, it could manipulate where it went. Big Brother 20, it has been super glued to the wall on one side and it has not changed at all. And I think it's unprecedented in the history of the show for whatever that's worth. Like even Big Brother 16 with the detonators and the bomb squad had 1 week where Donnie and ironically Nicole won HOH. And even though it technically went nowhere, at least for like half of a week, it looked like the pendulum might have swung a little bit the other way. But in this season so far, literally not done that through any competition. Like this week, week six with Davon, I think it's week six. I keep saying week six. This was like the one instance where the stars just aligned through twists and the right person winning the veto unexpectedly, which was amazing. And even then, it still ended up resulting in somebody not in the majority who had really no sway in the pendulum. They went out instead, who was also somewhat of a fan favorite. I was looking forward to it. So, yeah, a lot can be said. It's an interesting season.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been a lot of discourse, I think, as to, you know, because I think certainly some of us are like, well, we don't like the way this is going. But the thing about Big Brother is like 1 week things could change and you never know what's happening. I definitely think something that's working against this season, to your point, is that, you know, even though Enzo is not in the committee, it's pretty much been committee and committee adjacent, holding the vast majority of competition wins the entire time and pretty much enacting a plan from that Thursday until the next Thursday, pretty much seeing it to completion, which is why this week was so exciting, right? Was because Ian was really like fourth down on the hit list for the committee. And it just happened to be through this series of events that we got to this point, but he was still on that hit list. And I'm still trying to put it parts of that in my head as well as to like, if this is a bad season or a boring season, and like, do we conflate the two? Because even like Big Brother 12 had those weeks when like Rachel and Brendan would win HOH. Like, yes, that was very much a similar situation, right? Where it was like an ironclad alliance and then like two people against the rest of the house, but there was at least some momentum swinging things back and forth. I think without a doubt, though, for me, and I think for the community at large, this is the most disappointing season a Big Brother. And I think that's just by virtue of the fact that the vast majority of newbie seasons, you don't really have many expectations. You have those couple weeks, right, to like make guesses about people, but it's not like you have a weighted sense of fandom that is predicated upon sometimes years of fandom to root for these players. And so there was so much stock going in this that it just all sort of crumbled apart. And I think that is what's also producing such an emotionally overwhelming response from people, because it's like, we waited so long, we prepared for so long, and this is what we're getting so far.
You can go, Liana.
I was just gonna say, also the context of the world with coronavirus and everything that's going on, we weren't gonna get Big Brother. Oh my gosh, it's a miracle, we're getting Big Brother. Oh my gosh, it's Big Brother All-Stars. So you have hype on hype on hype on hype, and then to have this season, and then with all of the non-gameplay related incidents that have been going on in the house as well, I think just adds to my negative feelings towards the season.
Yeah, I was asking myself these same questions, like, well, Big Brother 12, I like, and that was an incredible, like, you could predict the before the veto even happened most of the weeks, who was going home, just based on, like, it wasn't Brigade, didn't matter. It was all the same at that point. And I was like, for me, I'm in a weird spot because the Big Brother 12 is the first season I ever watched. So I had this novelty aspect to it where I realized from the feeds perspective, I remember watching those Big Brother 12 feeds and people were complaining on this online on the message boards. Like, this is the most boring season through 12 seasons. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, I'm watching. It's like watching Survivor live. I've never experienced anything like this. I mean, this is so cool. Like, I was like, I'm appreciating the little things that go into the show itself. I didn't really understand the game as well as much as I do now. And I think that's a huge part of it. Like you said, is having a cast that goes as far back as 15 years ago with Janelle and Kacer come back, huge fan favorites, arguably two of the biggest fan favorites ever. And to be disappointing to see them go out early and not even in a fun way, not in an exciting way. There's a history that plays onto it, attaching the all-star label to it. You kind of have higher expectations, and you know, it's not even the fans' fault for asking. Like, we've seen all-star seasons on Survivor and they usually deliver in one way or another. All-Stars 1 and Big Brother delivered tremendously, and I kept telling myself, like, first 4 weeks of Big Brother All-Star Season 1 was dominated by one alliance,
right?
All 4 weeks. And to be fair, we did like the alliance, but I distinctly remember All-Stars 1, the Sovereigns were kind of the villains at that point. They turned into the villains. They went from the hero to the villains. Part 2, it was like they died and came back and they lived long enough to become the villain. And right. I was rooting a little bit against them at some point in All-Stars, hoping that they would eventually have their downfall. And so I kept telling myself, like, you know, it's only, four weeks into All-Stars 2, one alliance is crushing it, and I'm not really feeling them. But, like, I remember kind of being okay with Memphis in Season 10. He was fine. I don't remember, like, disliking him or anything. I mean, he was okay. Cody, like, I don't have too strong feelings for Cody. Now I'm like, oh, I have stronger feelings for Cody now. He's okay, like, but now I'm, like, actively rooting against them to not win because they're just crying. Like, Nicole, I didn't have strong feelings about Nicole too much. Danielle Donato, I was so rooting for her so hard in Big Brother 13, and like, I'm bringing that season up in my next video coming up, and like, some of the BS that went down in there, because I'm talking about the most robbed players of all time, and Big Brother 13 definitely goes up on that list.
Jelly!
She's up there in the top five. I was just like, there's so much history that this season plays upon, and it's just totally, totally missing its mark, unfortunately. And it's like, I've thought about this so much, like, what causes this to happen? Fans have been saying this, Big Brother has been broken. It's broken now. And I just, like, I don't agree with the fact that it's broken. I think that we have, like, in some disappointing way, like, high caliber gameplay that just doesn't translate well to television, where you have a dominant alliance full of comp beasts who are all playing loyalty. And a lot of them are very much like loyal to the soil players who just, like, they all wrote it out to the end with their ride or die. They're untouchable. And that's sort of what they're doing this season, all at the same, like, in one giant blob of it. And unfortunately, the outsiders have not won a single competition that would make a difference, except for, like, ironically, except for David winning the one power to screw this week up. So there's that. But that's, like, all we have through 6 weeks. It's dire.
That being said, look, we're gonna have some fun in games, whether or not they're gonna be based around Big Brother 22. We're gonna have some fun with this, and I will say, I thought this was a fun week. I know it was, again, like, a pretty undesirable outcome. I know that, you know, there's been some polarizing opinions on Ian, specifically the way that he sort of took his nomination in the last few days, but I will say this was very exciting to watch. I still can't believe Danny went through on nominating Tyler. Like, just watching the Hindenburg-like HOH of Danielle Donato has been pretty amazing. Like, Memphis's HOH essentially was, like, handed itself off to her in terms of being a hot mess, which, spoiler alert, we're gonna get another edition of a Memphis HOH coming up as well, so we'll see how the sequel does. But, man, and I, you know, partially is due to her own fault, as I mentioned with the Tyler stuff. Part of it isn't just due to that disruptor twist. Thank God David found the lightning bolt instead of, you know, the repeat button. And, you know, the stars ended up aligning in a certain way, as you said, Peridium, to make this at least a really interesting week. That certainly, I think, lit the internet up for, as I mentioned before, really the first time since, like, early August. So it was a fun time this past week, even if, you know, everything else outside of it is not exactly the most savory.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, Ian, also, I commend Ian, despite the fact that he did have elements of being a sore loser on the way out. he ultimately walked out of it very classy. I think the classiest.
I loved his 10-year-old softball game, like good game. Do you guys ever do that where like after you have to slap fives with the other kids and like everyone just monotonely repeats good game. And then there was that kid who would like lick their hand beforehand to just be a real jerk ass about it.
Mm-hmm. I was not familiar with that child. Was that you, Mike? Is there something
No, that was not me. That was not me. No, there were certainly kids, though, who would like spit in their hands doing it to be like, oh, I'm going to dig the knife in. I'm not a good sport.
I wonder if Ian was expecting Julie Chen to have orange slices when he walked out. Good game.
I would give you orange slices, but because of coronavirus, I can't get within 40 feet of you.
Yeah, I still don't get why she's not wearing a mask and he is. Like, he's the one who's been sitting in the bubble.
Yeah, I love that Julie Chen was like, thank you for pulling your mask up over your nose. Like, you are sitting a football field away from him.
It's just, for me, it's like, I understand that there's some look to it and she's the host, so she's guiding it. And it's easier to understand what she's saying, I guess. I just am like, until I figure out why, like, I just need an answer. I will always, every time it comes up, be like, why? Why aren't you wearing, I don't know, strange.
Like, pick one or the other. Either have them both in masks or have neither of them in masks. Like, if you're trying to make the point that it's important that we all wear masks, which I 100% agree, wear a mask. But then why isn't Julie doing it? So it's like, okay, well, it's okay if like half the people wear masks and you could just be like, well, I'm in the Julie Chen group. We don't have to wear masks.
Listen, if she wears a mask, it's going to throw her off. And she
even
is,
more so.
She is like unflackable. Even when she is just giving Ian dead silence for 5 seconds because she legitimately does not know what to say to him and then just says like, oh, I'm so in awe of the way you're responding to all of this right
so
now.
If Julie wearing a mask throws her off even more, then I think we absolutely need to get a mask on Julie Chen because the way she's ending these Thursday nights, I look forward to it more than I ever have just to see what she's going to say. And how she's going to say it and how awkwardly she's going to say it. So I love it.
I kid you not. That is probably my favorite part of the Big Brother week. Like, it genuinely is. I get excited. I was late to the episode on Thursday because I was running late from work. And I was like, Julie Chen quote. Like, I didn't even care about Ian being evicted. I got to find out what the quote is. I got to find out what the quote is this week. Oh, it's fabulous.
I love this one because this was essentially because I'm so surprised the kindness went out the window here. And she essentially was doing the Julie Chen version of like, if you point a finger at someone, four fingers are pointing back at you.
Oh.
I don't even remember what she said. I just remember being like, I think this week might have been the weirdest one or something. And I was just this like, I'm going to put a montage together.
The weirdest is still, if you have to choose between being right or being kind, always choose to be kind. Because again, that makes no logical sense. This one was pretty much like, judge lest ye be judged.
Yeah, it was like, don't judge or you too will be judged. Not the band, I believe, but we don't know for sure. No, actually, I had somebody reach out to me. Steph on Twitter reached out to me and said that she teaches fifth grade and she uses the book Wonder. I don't know if either of you have heard about it, but she apparently teaches it in her classroom and Julie Chen's son is around the right age for the book. So it could be like motivated based on this book Wonder, which is about like kindness and like accepting others, I think, or something like that. I don't know. I haven't read it, but who knows?
Wow.
That's really interesting.
The Big Brother lore is going really deep now just to figure out.
It really depends. Yeah. So if Julie Chen had like a 1-year-old boy, would she be like taking lessons from Paw Patrol into the Big Brother house? Like, does it really depend on the age of her child in terms of the material she is engrossing herself with?
Okay. For when her kid is in, I don't know, when do people read Twilight? Like high school? Can we get like the Twilight rules or something?
Do kids
like
read Twilight
excited.
Anymore?
I don't know. I don't know what the kids do. Yeet, whatever. I'm finna
and
talk
remember,
about this sentence.
Yeet.
Yeet, we're going to the store. I love this concept of it just progressing with whatever her kid is reading
time. No, this makes sense though. I'm on this track. Should Julie Chen start using more like Zoomer lingo when her son learned it? Like if Memphis walks out of the house, she goes, yeet, Memphis, I'm finna need you to sit in that chair over there.
I don't know if that was an actual sentence, but I trust you.
I don't even know what yeet is supposed to mean in these contexts at all. I thought yeeted was like I thought yeeting is like you yeet someone off a cliff or something.
Who will get yeeted out of the house tonight?
yeah, kind of.
There we go.
And so I'm assuming like the leaving house guests will make Julia laugh and she'll go SK.
Oh my gosh, it do be hitting different.
You know what? This is what I need now. I want to do away. You know what? Julie Chen kindness quotes 5 minutes ago. I need Julie Chen doing Gen Z and Zoomer lingo ASAP because I think that's what the world needs right now is Julie Chen trying to stumble her way through, you know, whatever lingo is going around.
Especially with the oldest cast, I think, in the history of the show, using the youngest generation's terminology. It's a cherry on top of these Thursday evictions.
Oh, that's a fantastic point. If Memphis gets evicted, he may just refuse to talk to her because he's been so stern and so straightforward with his, you know, his conversations in the house. He'd just be like, I don't understand. Next question.
So when you got blindsided, how much did you oop upon finding out about the committee?
Oh, man.
I can't believe the committee somehow made its way into this week. We were like, okay, Ian's getting evicted. This is not from the committee. Thank God we don't have to mention this week. And somehow, maybe, you know what? Actually, this is my new theory. I think the screen is stuck on that picture, and so they can't change it to anything. And so it's like, all right, I guess we've got to make our money off of the screen that we rented. Let's bring up the committee every week.
Yeah. That's entirely possible.
Before we move on to more fun and games, we're going to take a quick break to listen to a word from our sponsors.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.
And we are back, so let's keep on keeping on. Well, speaking of Ian, let's start getting into some of our tried and true segments here on the BNB. So, yeah, Ian is someone who I personally was just so surprised to come back in a number of ways. And despite being one of two winners and nearly going in that second week, as much as we love the Dirk Space Jammer of it all, he was nearly gone. Week two, barely ekes it out onto the jury. Liana, how did you think Ian was going to do preseason?
So I was also very excited for Ian to come back. I remember when I told a friend of mine that I was going to start my PhD at Tulane, he was like, did you know there was a Big Brother winner who went to Tulane? And I worked in the same building that Ian Terry got his bachelor's degree in. So, I mean, we're pretty much best friends. That being said, I did not have high hopes for him coming into Big Brother 22. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that. I did say that Ian would be pre-jury. I said he would be deemed a threat because he's a former winner. And then I have an all quotes and he beat Ian or beat Dan, but written in like that SpongeBob, like up and down font, lowercase, uppercase.
Yeah. Like, but Julie Chen will also explain.
I'm sure she'll have a meme in the background once they figure out how to change the graphics in the back. I said that his reunion with the hammock will be featured as a segment on the show. Remember that JC Fessy show, The Long and the Short of It? Like Love Boat, but like Love Hammock. I think I didn't love finish hammock. This. So I don't know. We're getting a reboot of Love Boat. It's called Love Hammock.
From the creators of Sex Stool, Love Hammock.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I did say he would end up in at least one costume this season, but I thought it would be chicken themed because his comic book name was Winner Winner Chicken Dinner.
I mean, look, we're pretty like we're hitting the mark. But I don't think you've done a have you done a costumes one yet, Peridium, for your videos?
No, I haven't, but I think I should now. Maybe yeah, I will.
We did a deep dive into that last week, obviously, but I know that that Big Brother loves their chickens. Between Big Brother 15, we also had Annalise doing by far the most interesting thing in her Big Brother career when she had to act like a chicken last season. So I would not be surprised if they go back to back or bok to bok with chickens. So I had a bit higher aspects for Ian, but not much. I had him making jury. I said that in complete opposition to BB14, he'd become the social butterfly of the house from the jump. I said that he would have a mutually assured destruction relationship with Nicole Friends. Well, essentially, like, you take me out and I'm going to take you down with me. Which, I mean, listen, if he had known, you know, Nicole Friends was maybe more in on the plan to get rid of him than he initially thought, that could have very well happened. I said that he would solve a math challenge using a ridiculously complicated formula, and that he would make at least 5 references to random parts of previous seasons, which I feel like across 6 weeks, he probably did. And his superhero name is Bow Wow Boy, parentheses, because they're going to be putting him in that damn dog costume for one more time.
There we go.
So you would have to imagine, like, his comic has to be like Dirk Space Jammer, right?
I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, definitely.
Costume related. Back to being costume related. The math one, actually, I think during the HOH competition where they had to roll the balls up into the divots, I guess, at the top, he did utter a math equation. And he did talk about during the HOH, the wall comp. It's like, oh, our center of gravity is completely, you know, so like that one kind of makes sense.
Yeah. And I think even with that former one that you mentioned, like, I believe they did the actual meme thing where, like, images of equations were passing by to explain, like, this person's mathy.
They had like E equals MC squared up there, I think, too. It was like, I'm pretty sure there's no like general relativity going on.
Oh my god.
I think they were going for like trying to create like the moment of him just being the super nerdy smart guy and just harping on that. All see, that was his shtick. And then yeah, you're right with the Nicole combination of mutually assured destruction. I think that was a good take. I didn't even consider that, like, going into the season too much, just the fact that they're the only winners, but I'm like, they don't really have much of a connection, but that didn't work out for Ian, unfortunately.
Well, I actually think the more mutually assured destruction came with Ian and Danny, considering we saw a bit of that confrontation on Thursday with the whole, like, well, just so you know, if you're voting me out, I'm not gonna vote for you. And she's like, that's fine, that's totally fine, I'm gonna get rid of you, it's fine, I'll work it out. What's one person in the jury ever done to any final vote, especially in the past 5 years?
Especially the first juror of all people. Like, give me a break. They're the least relevant of all 9.
Never come down to that person ever. So it's fine. Yeah.
No.
Exactly. Peridium, any other random things you want to bring up before we get to, into some of our big games or small games, I guess, themed after this week?
No. I don't think so. I guess the one thing I was interested in bringing up, and I don't know if this isn't fitting so much into the theme of what we were just talking about, but it was more so like, how much of this season can we really blame on Derek? And I wanted to know, like, what percentage, because at this point it's like, he ruined everything. He's ruined Big Brother. He ruined the season. He ruined our dreams, our hopes. And I see it in constantly. I think the fans have given up. So they're just like, you know, it's just Derek. He did it. I was just wondering on your guys' end, how much of this do you blame at all on Derek, if any? Because I just haven't spoken to anyone. I've been seeing lots of people talking about it. And I was like, I'm just curious to know, like, do you guys blame it all, any of it on Derek? Like 5%, 2%?
I mean, definitely the scapegoat, I think, here in this situation. He might be the one moving in next door. We really don't know.
Oh, no, he's the legend.
He is the Big Brother legend.
Yeah, just really cement his influence on the season by having him just like live next door and be like, no, Cody, you're supposed to be saying this.
Like, what if Derek gets to both be the secret mastermind guy, comes in, he's the legend, but he's also gets to be like a wall yeller. So he gets to have like the best of both worlds, where he can ruin the season like right in front of everyone's eyes.
That'd be really interesting, though, too. If someone yells like, Cody and Nicole are running the season, he's like, No, they're not. Disregard that last. This is me again. I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, nobody really seemed to care ultimately about that particular wall yeller and those comments that were made. But no, I mean, I think that that's kind of an interesting question, because especially in the preseason, we're talking about like, oh, who's going to be talking to who and who are their connections and Dan and Derek and what their respective roles would be going into this season. But I think it does go back to Big Brother 16 with how Derek played Big Brother 16 and so how he was able to really establish that like solid dominant alliance. And I know that the Battle of the Block helped in that whole process, but I think that was really sort of the got the ball rolling, at least with some of the changes that we've seen with Big Brother, because I know Taryn did a podcast on dominant strategy and how that's changed in the game of Big Brother. And I do think a lot of that is due to Derek's influence.
Yeah, I think that I completely agree. And I think it manifests itself in a number of ways in that, you know, that strategy in Big Brother 16 was so successful that it was copied again or tried to season after season after season. And so you have Cody, who successfully did that in Big Brother 16. You have Christmas, who was part of that very successfully in Big Brother 19. You have Tyler, who was very successful in doing that in Big Brother 20. And that's the thing, too, right, is that those three people in particular not only did those types of strategies, but found success in it. So it incentivizes them to be like, let's just do it again, right? Mm-hmm. Like Christmas is essentially committing to the same thing of like, I'm going to make a couple of deals, close deals with some people and like be a team player and just really go hard for people who are going against my alliance. I think a lot of people are sort of bringing in successful strategies from the previous seasons, which makes sense because also in games like Big Brother and Survivor, you can only play so far outside of who you are. And so I can imagine that those patterns are sort of going to repeat themselves. So obviously outside of maybe connections he was making, that could get all shot to sunshine. You know, apparently if Janelle was also doing her fair share and look what happened, you know, I don't think like the Nicole and Danny stuff, for example, is predicated upon a Derek thing. I think it's more so like, hey, he happened to invent this type of thing. And so that informed how these other people play. And so when you get a bunch of those similar types of players in a room together, they're going to tend to do the same thing. Throw that in with just the overwhelming comp imbalance that has happened as well for this alliance. And it just like spells a formula that is very, you know, very to the point, straightforward and predictable.
Okay. So, like, 100% then.
Yeah, all that to say, 100%. It's sort of like how, you know, for a while people were trying to play, like, Russell Hantz or, like, rethink the idol structure based on Russell Hantz. Like, how much influence did he have? Like, it could have been purely incidental on both Derek and Russell's part, since obviously they weren't thinking about their effect on future seasons. Maybe yeah. Russell did, let's be honest. But it's, like, because they sort of changed the paradigm in a way, they had a fundamental effect on all seasons moving forward, including this one that we're currently watching.
So isn't everybody in the world like sort of related to Genghis Khan because he is, you know, had so many. OK, Derek is the Genghis Khan of Big Brother. So now every little bit of strategy has in some, even in a minor way, been touched by the hands of Derek Levasseur.
Genghis Cop.
Wow. No.
Nearly over 3 years of podcast, Leon, and over 100, and you finally put the kibitz on one of my puns. No Genghis Cop.
That's the one. Yes, exactly. That's the
one
I'm
veto
stopping.
Now for the next 3 years, you can't veto any other ones. Use up your one veto for the decade.
That's right, Mike. I mean, you've said a couple of puns, you've gone on a couple of runs, but this is really where I put my.
What did you say?
Yeah, when you said Christmas, you said a couple of deals. Yes! I thought in my head, I thought in a couple of wheels. I don't know. I was just thinking of rhymes.
Okay, I was like, okay, a couple of wheels because she had the cart with her foot and she wheeled around a couple of meals because she was cooking. Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one thinking that too. That has, like, that phrase, a couple of insert whatever word here, has been completely ruined by this season.
It really doesn't help Nicole, right? Because, like, again, in the retelling of it, she made it catchier. And so it's only going to hurt her when she comes out of the house and be like, hey, aren't you the girl who took a couple of tries and a couple of guys to get to the win? Like, she just gave herself a tagline for the movie of her Big Brother life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Bailey didn't even say it in a catchy way. And then it was because it just bothered her so much. And the reiteration of it. And it's such a funny. And then, like, people are just like, Nicole is totally becoming the scapegoat for the people that everyone are funneling. So it's just it's grown to crazy proportions. And yeah, a couple of deals, a couple of wheels. There you go.
So this week did a bit of mixing up in the Big Brother house, even if the result was not exactly indicative of it, as we spoke about before. So in honor of the occasion, we have decided to mix up these house guests. We're doing some anagrams, people. So here's how it is going to work. I am going to read an anagram that will be the letters mixed around of a Big Brother 22 contestant. Now, that can be previous or current. You have 16 names to choose between. If you think you know it, buzz in, and I'll give you the chance to guess. If you get it wrong, the other person will get a chance to guess. I'll give one to begin with, but, you know, if it turns out it's a bit more difficult, I'll give some more as time goes by. Liana, do you have a buzzer in mind for this particular version?
Ooh, let me think. Yeah, I'm going to go with Tiny Vito.
Tiny Vito. Hold me closer, Tiny Vito. All right, Peridium, do you have a buzzer?
Is this
no
what I
vetoes,
say?
No vetoes, Liana. No more vetoes.
Is this what I say to buzz in? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so this is what I'm going to say. Okay. Can I just yell like a couple of tries?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You can yell whatever you want.
So we got
want.
A couple of tries versus hold me closer, Tiny Vito.
Okay.
All right. So again, this is going to be any previous or current Big Brother 22 house guest. Keep your minds open. Let's start. Tiny Rear. Tiny Rear.
T-I-N-Y-R-E-A-R.
Oh, a couple of tries. No, hold me closer, Tiny Vito.
Yes, Liana.
Is it Ian Terry?
It is Ian Terry.
Oh, okay.
Aww.
That was the first time I looked up, and the first one I saw was Tiny Rear, and that made me so happy. That's why he couldn't win that HOH. He had a tiny rear.
Aww.
Also, anagrams for Ian Terry, yarn tire and air entry.
Okay.
That's kind of. That fits the Dirk Space Jammer, air entry, Dirk Space Jammer.
Yeah, or lack of air entry, I suppose.
Possibly.
Mm.
All right, here's the next one. A dairy shark. A dairy shark.
Hmm.
Or perhaps you might like hard, airy ask.
I'm really good at visualizing. It's hard for me to visualize without like seeing it in front of me, I mean, and then figuring out what the word is. It's like a
you can pull up a list if you want, because I definitely have one in front of me, which is why hold me closer, Tiny Vito.
Yes.
Is it Kaser?
It is Kaser Rita. Yes, you are correct.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Some other anagrams for Kaser. We have Asia Hark Dry.
Hmm.
We have Dark Ash Airy, which is true. And finally, a rash Ray kid.
Ew.
Nice.
I believe that was one of Ray kid. I believe that was one of Dirk Space Jammer's adventures. Is he had to that rash that Ray kid was covered in rashes.
Dirk Space Jammer versus the rash Ray kid. Is that what it was? Yeah, it's a classic.
All right, here's your next one. Czar Elf Online.
Oh man.
Okay. Czar. So
Czar
it's gotta be
Elf Online.
That's long.
Here's another one.
I'm gonna say
Crane Zone Phil. Pretium, do you have one?
Can I say a couple tries? Is it Nicole Franzel?
That is correct.
Oh.
Alright, there you go.
Yes, Czar Elf Online is Nicole Franzel. I also would. She also anagrams to Canine Fez Roll.
Ew. What's a Fez Roll? Like, no, I don't know what that is.
Were you thinking like a fruit roll up?
Yeah, I was thinking actually like one of those cakes that's like rolled up.
Yeah, Swiss roll.
Swiss roll, yeah.
No, unfortunately, no canines or fezes involved in that particular pastry.
Gotcha.
All right, next up. Canyon Hotline.
Canyon Hotline.
and also give you each ninny tool.
Oh boy.
Ooh.
How about canine hot only?
Ooh.
Wow. I thought I'd be better at this. Even with 16 names up in front of me, I still am like, okay, there's no Z in that, but there could be Janelle. No.
How about nacho linen toy?
Is it a couple tries?
Yes,
Brady. Is it Nicole Anthony?
That is correct.
All right, there we go.
And my favorite one was safer last with Nicole Anthony, Cyan Hen Lotion.
I'd buy that. I think you could get it at Bath and Body Works.
Well, I know, Liana, your mom does love chickens, so I think she has probably invested in some Cyan Hen Lotion.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, one of our chickens had like something on its foot and we had to like put medication on it. And I remember holding a chicken in the bathroom, just like being a chicken doctor, treating a chicken, being like, this is the weirdest moment of my life.
Yeah, you're like, why am I standing in my bathroom holding a chicken?
Yeah. Well, my mom, it tends to its tiny little foot, like wrapping bandages and putting ointment on it.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, cute. I guess I don't know what, you could only really moisturize like 5% of its body since the rest of it is feathers.
Yeah, can you moisturize feathers? Is that a thing?
That's a good question.
I don't know if you could. Isn't the like, is this for chickens?
This is only. Is it different if they? If it's a different bird with different.
I wonder. Well, like, I know. Like, I feel like because a duck has like water resistant feathers, mm-hmm. so like if you put something like that on it, it might not work. So I don't know if chickens have the same element to that.
Yeah, that's
a
good point.
Like
yeah,
the oils they secrete.
I don't know.
I knew that, and I never thought I'd ever say that out loud. But about ducks.
Wow,
versus
who
chickens.
Knew ducks had a natural moisturizer? We're learning so much about biology today.
That's why. That's one of the main leading causes of little baby chicks dying, ducklings dying, is that they don't have the ability to resist the cold from the water. And if they get wet, they can die from it. It's really random. I can't believe I know that, but.
Yeah, why do you know that?
You're such a duck expert. Yeah.
This is the most random thing. I just like years ago, I became like obsessed with ducks, which is really random because I know Jenny last week was like a big fan of ducks. I was listening to that and then she's like, I love ducks. I was like, I used to love ducks. Like I'd watch like, I love ducklings. I thought they were the cutest animals in the world.
Spoiler alert. So we're going to have Allie Lasher on next week. And just by rule of nature, she has to be a goose fan. Like the world needs to happen so that this needs to be a thing.
Then Mike and I will get up and run around.
It'll just start running around the entire podcast.
And she's like, yeah, I'm a big goose fan.
Well, my nickname in high school, people call me Goose Boy.
Why?
Why?
Because my last name is Geis, and people couldn't pronounce it. And it looks like it says geese, which it's a German last name. So it should be actually pronounced geesey. And so people call me Goose Boy. It was like Goose Quail Boy. Man and Goose Boy. Yeah.
When you were starting your YouTube channel, did you think about Goose Boy as a possible name?
Hey, it's GB talking BB.
Oh, gosh. Maybe I'll create an alternate account one day and that'll be it.
Oh, my gosh. That's how we'll know your burner account. If we start getting comments
be on the lookout for Goose Boy.
Be on the lookout for Goose Boy. That sounds like be on the lookout for like the Canadian geese that are running amok throughout the town. Or is it like Bat Boy, like the National Enquirer? No one will know.
Yeah, exactly. Have boy, have goose. He's giving you something to honk about.
Pretty was like, why did I agree to do this again?
I just think of Doug the cartoon and his Quail Man character, and I'm like,
that makes
the
sense.
I'm like the Robin to his Quail Man or something.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because
it's not Goose Man; it is Goose Boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More Robin-esque.
Well,
yes.
Let's get back to the anagrams here. And let's see if neither one of you have both of you have scored. So no one's laying a goose egg in this game, which is good news, even for Goose Boy. All right. Here's your next anagram. Anal Dad Drive X.
Oh, gosh. What's my thing again? Hold me closer, Tiny Vito.
Yes, Liana.
OK, is it David Alexander?
That is correct.
It's like, who's got an X in their name?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, David Alexander does indeed anagram to Anal Dad Drive X.
Anal Dad.
So, like, you have a really strict father, and he's like, okay, I guess I'll drive your ex home. I don't know why they're here.
Stop being so anal, Dad. Yeah. Does that work? No.
We also have an anagram is a larvae dad next, and also darned diva Axel.
Darn it. That could be, yeah, that could be somebody's name.
I mean, Axel Rose could be a bit of a diva.
Yeah. Darn. Just reacting.
Diva? Darned diva Axel?
Yeah, darned diva Axel.
Darned diva Axel.
All right, here's your next one. Abstract mob shit.
I mean, I want to say it's Enzo, but obviously it's not. Abstract mob shit. Is that a couple of tries?
Yes.
Is that Robert Garrett? Memphis
it
Garrett?
It is not Robert Garrett.
I'm just looking at the wiki page and I see Robert Memphis Garrett. All right, let me come Garrett.
Up with... Here's some more. Bathmat Crib Toss. Here's another one for you. Samba Bitch Trots.
What?
Keep getting better.
This is a really fun one.
Oh my gosh.
I think
gosh.
I know what it is.
Oh no. Okay, well, it's definitely someone with a B in their name, because that's how that works.
Would it help, Liana, if I said...
Oh, a couple of tries. No, hold me closer, Tiny Vito.
Yes.
Is it Christmas?
It is Christmas, Abbott. And I have to say, not to spoil the rest of the answers, but abstract mob shit being an anagram for Christmas, Abbott, might have been the highlight of my week, to be completely honest. It's one of those things where, like, it's a Tom Morvolo, a Lord Voldemort type of thing where, like, these letters match up for the right reasons.
Yeah, that's definitely fitting of Christmas. We should just call her that. Forget Labor Day. Forget Arbor Day. We're going with Mike's new name for her.
Her abstract mob shit. Also, yeah. A couple of other anagrams for Christmas, Abbott. Rabbits chat most. And also, Bobcats harm tits.
Wow. Who knew Christmas's name could have so many pretty decent anagrams to work off.
We'll have to ask Kat about the utility about that last one, since she knows the urine. I don't know if she knows about the safety regulations behind it.
I forgot about that.
All right, here's your next one. Orange vendors.
Orange vendors. Oh.
We also have Dang Senor Over.
Orange vendors. Oh, a couple of tries.
Yes.
Is it Davon Rogers?
That is correct. It is Davon Rogers. A couple of other anagrams for Davon. We have Dragon Verse On, Grand Oven Sore, and Drag Senor Oven. Yes, drag Senor Oven.
Senor Oven.
Senor Oven's canceled. Drag him.
Oh,
I can't wait for Julie to say
what, for that to be your sign off?
Yeah, like Davon says that, like, oh, let's talk about the week.
Girl, oh.
All right, here's your next one. Radical Koi Pho.
Is this pho like the Vietnamese food, or is this like an enemy?
No, pho as an F-O-E, like friend or foe. Okay. Yeah, not Radical Koi Pho.
You right,
never
fair
know.
Radical Koi Pho. Also, Cicada Foolery.
Oh,
a couple of tries.
Peridium.
Is it Cody Calfiore?
That is correct.
Yes.
Some other ones for Cody. Coco Dairy Elf, which I believe is a role he'll be playing in one of these Candy Cane films coming up. Oracle Day Quaff, which he has a very nice quaff. And also, Ciao, Lady Force.
That's how he exits the room.
Yeah, he's Italian.
The what was it? Coco Dairy something?
Coco Dairy Elf.
Yes, Coco Dairy Elf. That also could be, if he wants to be with Coco Caliente, that's how their pair comes together.
Yeah, I think if he could be a sponsor on their podcast with his new, like, Keebler-esque business called Dairy Elf.
Mm-hmm.
There's something with Corey wearing that elf costume, too. I just was rewatching Big Brother 18, so I'm, like, visioning Corey somehow finding his way into this anagram here. Ugh.
Oh, I forgot he had to wear the elf one too. So yeah, last week when we talked about the Patriot costume that he had to do, I forgot. And how much he loved Christmas.
Yeah, I think it was for that one. I think it was for the they had that one Christmas competition actually, and yeah, I think they all wore it possibly. I distinctly remember him because he was like over the moon about it.
Yeah, I can't wait for Corey and Cody to go on to Coco Caliente and be like, we're just a couple of guys giving a couple of tries to this product. All right, next up, next anagram, Bean Lump Zoo. Bean Lump Zoo.
Oh,
just a couple of tries.
Burn it. I can't remember my thing.
I'm going to say that has, is that Enzo Palumbo?
That is correct. It is Enzo Palumbo. Some other anagrams for Enzo Palumbo, lame bozo pun, which apparently is Genghis Cop, according to Liana Boris. A bloom Zen up.
Oh, that's you.
Yeah. And also nap lube zoom.
No, that doesn't sound.
Which I think is three things that people are on is on their list during quarantine time.
The list of things to do for the day.
Yeah. Three verbs you use to describe your day during quarantine.
I hope they're all separate and not together.
It's a new outwit, outplay, outlast.
You should get that tattooed on you, Mike.
Oh, there's still time. Oh, all right. Here's your next one. Based in iron.
Ooh, that's a fun one.
So that could be a test.
Hold me closer, Tiny Vito.
Yes, Liana.
Is this Danny?
That is correct. Danny Briones. Some other ones for Danny, which I think Danny's also a very fun one as well. Debonair Sin.
That's cool.
Brain on Side. A Bison Diner. And Brains Die On.
Are those insults to her? I'm trying to figure it out. Like, brain on side very much sounds like someone else. Like, oh, Cody is my brain on side.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I got a brain on the side, you know?
I don't know. I mean, the first one also was very, like, love triangle-ish as well. So maybe that fits with what Kaser was trying to say.
Yeah, based in iron almost sounds like a Game of Thrones thing. And her name is Dany. So actually it makes a lot of sense.
Yes, Dany, based in iron. It's part of her name.
All right, so we're tied 5-5, so we're going to go to a tiebreaker here. I have one more. First one to get this right wins the whole shebang. Here we go. Shake 'em, shit.
Yeah.
Hold me closer, Tiny Vito.
Yes, Liana.
My God. I hope. Is this Keisha?
It is Keisha.
That was a close one.
That was a squeaker. Much like the iron, which Danny is based in. But Liana, congratulations, you took it. Some other ones that I found that I couldn't build out for an entire game. Kevin anagrams Kevin Campbell enables to enable lick MVP. let's see, Tyler Crispin. I think we did. I can't remember if we did Tyler during BB20, but I know Celery Sprint is a pretty big one. But Memphis Garrett might be my favorite. I use Memphis instead of Robert. Memphis Garrett anagrams to hamster germ pit.
Which is also a name for the Big Brother house, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. So instead of ants, it's just hamsters.
Yeah, I think Hamster Watch called it that a while back.
Yeah, that was actually the original name of the site. I was going with more of a Goose Boy approach. That was the initial pilot launch name.
Hamster germ site.
Well, congratulations, Liana. Though, Peridium, very good effort. You both know your letters very well and able to figure out, even if these house guests are not really mixing it up, you were able to do so here with their names.
I do think my 5 points were more on the back of Liana not remembering how to say her code word, her buzzword. Half the time,
at
one point, saying mine at one point. Yeah, yeah. But I will take this second place. It feels honored. I'm honored to have it.
I mean, the same place that Tyler got in Big Brother 20. So I don't know if that's a compliment. But yeah, I think I learned a valuable lesson, which is to pick something I can actually remember. I even wrote it down just in case because it was long and I thought I might forget.
It?
Yeah, just in case. You never know. I was
wondering if I should possibly write down these letters as he's like saying it out, but you're too fast for that. But then I found out you were writing. So,
Well, just my own thing that I came up with that I couldn't remember. That's really all it was. oh my gosh. All right. Well, where do we even go from here? You know what? I think I want to just jump right on in to the next thing that we have prepared today, because when I think about Big Brother, of course, the first thing that popped into my head is, oh, all of the strategy. But at the end of the day, Big Brother is such a stupid show. And there are so many silly segments. And there's so much ridiculousness that goes on within the game of Big Brother. And that was truly pictured in the veto competition intro, I guess, this week with the shrink ray.
Dear God. Well, I think, was it even called the shrink ray? It was like the transformamizer.
Yes, it was the, let me see, the teletransporter. So if, yeah, it's got a really fancy name. So what we're going to be doing today is I have one long Mad Libs prepared for us to go through. And I think, yeah, I think it's better just as one big one, where essentially what I did was I transcribed everything that happened during the whole shrink ray bit during this episode. So for example, you know, Nicole wheels the shrink ray out from the storage room, house guests cheer, for example. So we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna rewrite it. What would it look like if we had our hands on the shrink ray scene? I don't even know what to call it from this week, but just to put some context, so the competition name was Micro Brews, where the overall story was the house guests were supposed to be shrunk down, but the machine malfunctioned, which it's unclear what that actually means.
Yeah, because like, I thought they shrunk, but I guess they were really big and the cans were small in the competition.
I think they were supposed to be shrunk down, but then they didn't, which is why they were so big and the competition was so tiny.
But then where did they go when they got zapped?
Well, that's a great question. It's also unclear if the ray made them bigger or they were just still the same size. Like, it didn't work at all. How did they get back into the house? Also unclear.
So I think from a production perspective, I think they also have to, like, they had to stay still, right? Because, like, I'm pretty sure they had to do the first sequence of them getting zapped. And I'm pretty sure they had to stay in the exact same pose or like get back in the exact same formation so that when they were zapped back, they still had to be, oh, we're back from being enlarged / shrunk / nothing happened to us.
I don't know. I can't.
I'll be honest, I watched this show so much and I didn't ever even think the fact that there was a storyline for a competition. It's blowing my mind. I'm like, I watched the same thing and I'm like, oh, that was actually a story. They were trying to tell you like trying to give you context for what was happening. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I just am like so used to the weird things happening that I'm like, yeah, there you go. Like I didn't even pay attention to the context of what was it. I was like,
you're,
yeah, they're doing something weird.
You're like, yeah, yeah, shrink ray. Doesn't matter.
I was like, looking more like, I'm just like, this is a cool comp. I never seen anything like it. It's cool that they're doing something different. But then I was like, oh, they're trying to tell us a story. Yeah, it's funny.
Well, I was trying to remember because I felt like Big Brother 20 had a lot of animation as well with it. The only one I could find is during the premiere episode. Do you remember when they split the cast of Big Brother 20 on the two different sides?
Yeah.
And then half of them went into like the dark room and then half of them went on the things that like raised them up and down and they had to like spell something. They used a really stupid animation of like pixels, like they were getting put into the computer.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the pixels. Like, yeah. And the pixels like, you know, like disappeared off the screen. Like, and then all of a sudden they got like transported into their various locations. So this was in that same vein. I couldn't come up with a game related to that, although I did try. But instead, we're going to go ahead and try to rewrite this terrible story that Big Brother apparently tried to tell us, even though like pretty upset. I mean, I didn't notice it until I think my like second, third time watching through that I was actually transcribing what was happening. So,
well, yeah, and I think we were also so drawn into like everyone, and I mean everyone, looking at you, Cody's terrible performance of like the, where did they go? Wait a minute, they're not there anymore.
Iconic. He's such a good actor. All right, let's go ahead and kick things off. Pretty, and I'm going to go to you. Can you give me a Big Brother 22 house guest?
David.
Okay. Mike, I'm gonna need an interjection. So for example, a cheer.
Ow.
Ow. Okay. All right. I'm going to need a verb. Pridium.
Skipped. Like skipping. Skipping, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. I will adjust the tense if necessary.
Okay.
My mind. Oh, another Julie Chen line, I'm sure that she'll use.
Okay, ah, Mike. My mind.
Chen, her mind. All right, Mike, I'm going to need a machine or an appliance name.
Oh, an appliance name?
Or like a type of machine or type of appliance.
Can I say dildo?
Yeah, sure.
Is that a machine?
Well, I mean, it's a tool. I think depending on the type you have, it can have different mechanical parts.
Isn't the definition of like a simple machine, like, is it doesn't have to fulfill like a, I have to ask Ian about this apparently.
Yeah, you might. That's right. Yes, you might want to ask.
Oh, I should have put that him. In one of my. I only have six questions to ask Ian in my exit interview. Why did I not put "Is dildo a simple machine" in it?
Ugh, Mike, you're really dropping the ball here. Really dropping the dildo. All right, pretty an adjective.
Enlarge. Is that? I'm really. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Look. Mike, what did you say? Smooth for something?
I said smooth as a verb.
Yeah, I was like, give me a verb. Mike said smooth. So, yeah,
and one time, Liana asked me for a family member, and I said mailman.
Yeah. So there's no wrong answers here.
I feel like I'm cis all of a sudden. It's like, give me an adjective. I'm like, geez, okay.
Person, place, or thing. All right, Mike, a Big Brother 22 house guest who's not David.
Hey, sir.
All right, I am going to need a pretty a noun.
X-ray machine.
And I'm going to need Mike an action verb.
Ooh, poking.
Okay. And pretty another Big Brother 22 house guest.
Let's go with Cody.
Calafiore. All right, Mike, this one is a little complicated, but I need some sort of like sci-fi object.
Ooh, okay. How about a moon rock that can have you see your true love?
Ooh, pretty powerful moon rock.
Well, listen, the moon is the most romantic celestial being.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Well, when you take your sweetie on a moonlit night, you know, you're not going to take him on a Saturn-lit night.
Uranus begs to differ.
That's true. Is that the most romantic one, or is that just like the most like stanky planet?
I'm not sure. Who didn't one of your anagrams have anal in it? Ask that person.
Yeah, I'm going to ask David, Mr. Anal Dad Drivex
himself. Yes. Okay, well, let's pull it back here for 1 second. Pridium, I need a game show host.
Let's go with Drew Carey.
Okay.
Keep it in the family.
And Mike, I should skip this one for you, but a body part.
Ooh, give me tongue.
I think by now I'd learn how to spell tongue. Okay, a pretty a villain, fictional or otherwise.
Villain,
yes.
Let's go with the Joker.
Okay, and then I need Mike a number.
69.
Yeah, baby. All right, pretty a body part.
Let's go with big toe.
Always a classic. Big toe. Mike, an adjective ending in ED.
Marbled.
All right. And then last one, Peridium, a famous actor or actress.
Brad Pitt.
All right. Okay, so we have it all written out.
Oh, Lord.
Let's see where this goes. Okay. House guests, it's time. Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry, I should do this as the person. Okay. House guests, it's time for the veto competition, shouted David. Is that the best day? I don't know. He, like, gives
nothing.
No,
David would take a bunch of pauses in between, like,
house
thing
guests.
About house guests is...
It's time for the veto competition. Did I use the veto competition? No. All right. Shout out to David.
Did I do the veto competition?
I do the veto competition. Was it you? Did you use the veto competition on me? All right. The other house guests. Ow!
I'm assuming David like ran them over with it.
I guess. They yelled from the rest of the house. Gather in the living room, David says. So the house guests skipped into the living room to see David wheeling out a dildo-looking object.
Which
will make the house guests enlarged so they can compete in the veto competition.
I'm squirming.
Players.
Wow, Big Brother is no longer a family show.
No.
Wheeling out a giant cannon-like dildo.
I don't know. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Players. Oh no, wait. Sorry. Then is that Dirk Space Jammer's wife? Kaser said snidely from my mind just went ahead and skipped that line because it was like, this is too inappropriate. You can't say this on a podcast.
Period.
Okay. All right. Players. You're in luck. You get to head out of the house, grab some micro x-ray machines, said David while awkwardly reading the cue card. David also awkwardly points at all the house guests sitting on the couch. And the house guests poked in celebration while Cody sits looking grumpy.
Wait, so they're just like poking everyone?
I guess. Okay, the only way to get there is with this moon rock that can have you see your true love, Atron, says David.
That's not a terrible name.
as he awkwardly gestures to the machine like Drew Carey.
Wait. So just to be clear, the giant dildo looking thing is a moon rock that can tell you where your true love is.
Atron.
I think we're writing a romance novel without even realizing it through Mad Libs.
I think so too. It's Frail Mary. We need to start writing this fan fiction now. Okay. It's been a little glitchy, but Big Brother is sure it should work. Who's ready to give it a try? Asks David. The house guests cheer while Danny and Ian raise their tongues in excitement.
David, so weird. Everyone's poking each other and then Danielle like, and each flapping other. Their tongues.
Okay. David laughs like the Joker. which I can't do like that evil sinister like
everyone is just insane.
Yeah, David laughs like the Joker. Mwahaha. As the house guests line up in front of the moon rock that can have you see your true lovatron. All right, let's start this bad boy up, says the host. Oh, says David, who proceeds to push 69 buttons on the machine. Again, Fitz. All of a sudden, the machine starts up with rays of light and sounds, and the house guests wave their big toes in the air as they are transformed by the machine. Meanwhile, the other house guests on the couch are shocked, flummoxed, and marveled as the veto players disappear. And with the acting power of Brad Pitt, Cody asks, "Where'd they go?" The end.
Wow.
Bravo.
Wow. I don't know how we could. So we just took the it what was a confusing concept and just made it really horny instead.
It's essentially the same plot, yes, but like the porno version. So should be proud of yourselves.
Yeah. Do you think Memphis would be pissed if he got shrunk down by a giant dildo and blame it on David?
Was cackling like the Joker. I just love the whole body, the big toes waving, the tongues waving, the people poking each other out of excitement instead of doing anything normal. There's like you're excited. You just start. I'm just trying to envision the thought, and that's my favorite part of it all.
I mean, I know just a couple poking. Weeks ago we were talking about like phrases we would want to bring to the Big Brother house. Maybe I would bring that. It's like instead of celebrating, I would just start poking everybody and see how they would react.
Yeah, Mike's gonna get removed from the house.
Really just pushing all 69 buttons to see how far I can go.
I think Facebook was already on this concept, right? They had the whole poke feature on Facebook for a long time. So, I mean,
yeah,
they knew what was up.
Do you ever get into any like longstanding poke wars with anybody when that was a thing?
Yeah, I mean, I remember that being a thing. Absolutely. I can't tell you one per, you know, I also, I'm sure, asked several people for radishes in Farmville as well. Like, look, I'm a regular girl. I get caught up in this stuff, too.
I was in a poke war with my prom date for about 2 or 3 years. Didn't go the direction that you thought it would.
Not that kind of poke war.
If ever you need a moon rock that can tell you who falls in love with you, it would be then on that night.
Oh man.
Can we talk about that competition, by the way? I would love to, because it was
the tiny veto.
Yeah. Cause that was such like a, you know, Purdim, you actually just did a video again on like the top 10 Big Brother competitions as determined by your listeners. But I feel like we've seen, you know, tried and true traditions every year on Big Brother, that it's always fun to like get a new one. And then also was one that like didn't necessarily test the usual things like balance or memory or dexterity or strength. It was all about like very small hand-eye coordination. And it was, while the story behind it may be weird as hell, especially now, I love seeing this new type of thing come about even 22 seasons in.
They basically were like, probably Julie Chen playing Operation with her kid and was like, let's make that a competition. With an X-ray and a giant zapping machine. Yeah, I thought it was cool. It was different. It completely blew me out of the water just because it was unexpected. I was just like, all right, which of the usual is it going to be this week? Is it going to be like Oteb? Or are we going to get possibly BB Comics? I don't know. But yeah, I was like, whoa, this is weird. Like beyond the fact that they were doing their amazing acting skills on display and creating a scene within the usual bringing them out into the backyard. Yeah, it was different. I liked it. I mean, it Davon won, which was amazing. Couldn't ask for a better result at that point. So yeah, it was like the stars aligned. I had said like, this might be one of my favorite competitions they've ever done, really. And it was fitting that like it happened right as I'd already asked the question to my fans, like, hey guys, what's your favorite competition? And then a lot of people were saying this after the fact, but I didn't include it at that point. But yeah, it was a good week.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I really like it, especially because it's so different and because it's testing a very different set of skills. I mean, so the field that I work in, a lot of people do animal surgeries and they do this type of movement. I mean, with tweezers even smaller than that. And so I was like, oh man, I know some people who would be really good at this, which is the only thing I could think of while this was going on. But of course, that's such a I mean, not a lot of people practice that particular skill set. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's something unique that gets tested. It brought about a different winner. It brought in some diversity when it comes to the competitions. And I am 100% for that. I'm also very down for them just trying something new. I mean, you've been on the air for so long. This is season 22 years. I think you can afford to, you know, to try some things. And I think one of the benefits of the COVID situation is it's kind of forcing their hand a little bit when it comes to how are they going to do competitions, because they can't do the really extravagant big builds, or they can't at least do them all the time.
So let's make them small.
They went the exact opposite. Let's make them very tiny. The only thing I will say was there was a little bit when they first jumped to the competition and it was like just their giant faces. I was like, ah, what is going on here? Can we zoom out?
Yeah, because the camera was so focused in obviously on like each little set of cans that like, yeah, everyone just had giant heads. So maybe the machine like made their heads really big and not the rest of their bodies.
That's initially what I was thinking. I was like, whoa, the high definition is betraying you right now. And I'm like, that was what I thought. That was like there was a massive head competition going on. I couldn't figure out what the heck they were supposed to be doing.
Oh no, your heads are giant.
It's the Mr. Potato Head competition. I don't know what that would look like.
So
the
Liana,
head competition.
You said you probably have some experience with tweezers as well. Do you think the bigger set of tweezers made it easier or harder for them to use? Because those tweezers were also like, I'd say at least 20 times larger than your usual pair that you used to pull out a splinter.
Yeah, they were really big. I mean, I think they're it's heavy also, which is part of the challenge, especially when you're holding something that's so light, because essentially the weight differential between the can and the tool that you're using is so high that it can be really hard to kind of move it in that way. But I think one of the bigger issues with the fact that the cans were so light, I understand they were micro brews, but the fact that Tyler just exhaled and blew them all over is probably a bit of a problem. So getting them to stack, I think, seemed to be very challenging. I don't know if the tongue out approach really helped that Enzo was going for, but maybe there is some strategy to this competition.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, especially if you're talking about the times of COVID. I thought there was going to be like a bit of like a face guard or like some sort of panel of plastic in front of the cans.
Oh, yeah.
But it did lead to that great moment of Tyler just letting out an exhale and just pulling a big bad wolf and blowing down his entire stack of cans.
Mm-hmm. And it's the timing when he, obviously the DR went along with it to make set it up nicely, but it's also just he blows it down and he just stops and pauses and just like that was like, I don't know how long it took him to get there, but just that moment of realization of like, oh my God, like, can't believe I just did that.
Oh no, I'm going to have to start preparing my shout out of Angela's cookbook because I know I'm not going to win this veto.
Yeah, not this one, that's for sure, but maybe another one.
Oh my gosh, so I heard him Tyler talking on the feeds about the cookbook shout out, and he was like, yeah, we can go back and check the website to see how many hits it got the day after or the day of my shout out and things like that. I was like, all right, taking some data so you'll know the impact of your shout out on Big Brother.
That reminds me of like those GeoCities pages that would have like a hit counter at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if Angela's cookbook page has that so they could just look at like what the odometer said between what, September 16th and September 17th.
I will say it did get my wife. She was like, she was trying to figure it out. She wanted to see it herself just to be like, let's leave with this because she's not vegan or anything. But we looked it up. We looked up Not in Chain 2, his website, just to see. I'm like, well, it kind of worked. Like, I don't know. I guess kudos to them for shouting it out. But yeah, they're expensive. There's his jewelry.
Yeah, it's expensive. They got me too. Not this week, but they did get me before. I looked up the website for the jewelry. I looked up the website for the cookbook. So
I know. I'm like, people don't like it, but it works. That's how, like, yeah, I remember Cochran did this on Survivor.
That's true. It ends up like, yeah, it's the Streisand effect. Any publicity is good publicity to a certain extent. Yeah, I'm on TangelaInc.com. I did not realize it was Tangela Inc. Holy moly. Yeah. Wow, that's a choice. What do we think about the title Angela's Plant-Based Kitchen? Like, this feels like a placeholder title to me.
Like, yeah, just write that down for now and we'll change it later.
Yeah, exactly. And then it just ends up making the final cut because I don't get it.
Well, it's, oh my gosh, now I'm just picturing everything being made out of plants. So like, her knife is made out of an onion.
Need a knife? Just sharpen a piece of celery.
She's got a salad spinner, but it's like made out of lettuce. I don't know why that's where my brain decided to go today. Yeah, Angela's Plant-Based Kitchen. I mean, it definitely means that they're trying to sell her, too. Or they think that she's a valuable component to selling the cookbook, right? Because otherwise they would just call it some sort of generic cookbook name. But it's right. Angela's Plant-Based Kitchen.
Yeah, but then Angela. In that case, I don't know. Maybe it would have been like Angela Rummins Plant-Based Kitchen. But I don't think, I guess Big Brother players didn't know her as Angela Rummins. Like, they never know last names unless they get invoked somehow.
All right, well, what would you call it, Mike?
I don't know. Like, maybe, like, Tasty Tangela or something.
Nope, that's worse. This is better.
Yeah, I would say, theirs is neutral. I think that's going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's more in dildo that will enlarge.
Yeah, I was gonna
you.
Say, is that gonna be the title of our Mad Lib erotic sci-fi book, Tasty Tangela?
Oh no. One of the reviews on Amazon, easy to follow. Great, colorful recipes, lots of flavor, a must buy whether you are a plant-based eater or not.
Okay. Were there any reviews that you saw that came in after September 17th?
Let's check out those one-star reviews, baby.
Well, yeah, I want to see if Tyler's efforts to make it pop worked one way or the other.
All right, let's see. Oh, here's a good one. So this is from, no, this is from September 7th. I can't find anything that's more recent. But this one from September 7th is a one-star review. As a new vegan and fan of reality TV, my interest was piqued, spelled wrong, when this cookbook was recommended to me. I didn't know who Angela was. Okay, but downloaded it as an ebook after my friends told me she had been on CBS's Big Brother, and I am so sad I wasted my money. Poorly written, ugly design, and most importantly, boring.
Oh no.
Yeah. They're boring, bland, predictable vegan recipes that most definitely came from YouTube.
Oh Lord.
Is that written by R. Sesternino?
I don't know. Lissa has something to say, and it is that it is boring.
It's boring, and that she got her recipes from YouTube.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking it up. These are all on the 7th, it looks like. I guess that was the weekend after Tyler decided to stick around.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see anything that's like particularly rated or related to like Big Brother, you know, Big Brother people coming in and flooding the reviews, at least not on Amazon.
That's good. So, yeah, because I know that sort of obviously has an effect in certain people's businesses. Maybe Angela is so tangentially related to everything that like people aren't going to make that extra step to go to it, as opposed to like if Tyler had put out his own book. Then people would want to directly attack him.
Mm-hmm. Did we know that Angela wrote another book?
I think we Unbothered.
Is it
right?
Tasty Tangela?
No. Oh, if only they took my name.
Sexy sequel. Unbothered. Yeah. Break down the boulders between you and your true potential.
But what this is, I believe this was from before her time in the house, or was it written afterwards?
Okay. Let's see. This is,
I think
from...
it was after.
July 10th, publication day, July 10th, 2019.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. And I'm looking at the description here. Perform a flawless level 10 gymnastics routine? Easy. Jump 14 feet in the air using a spindly fiberglass pole? Please. Turn $200 into a six-figure business? Piece of cake. Live in a house with 16 strangers surrounded by cameras?
What?
I think she... I can't tell if it means, like, the first three things she did. She's basically being like, oh, that's easy. You can do this. And then, but like, oh, living in the house is so tough.
Please. Jump 14 feet in the air using a spindly fiberglass pole.
What
Please.
The hell?
That's probably my favorite line.
What the hell does, what is she using?
I think because wasn't she a pole jumper or something? Or a, not a pole jumper, a high jumper. What's the thing where you run with the pole and then you do
the
thing?
Oh, I didn't
realize
that the pole was made out of fiberglass.
Well, I assume so, just based on the mechanical properties of the pole. It's got to be made out of something like that.
I didn't realize that it has, like, the same material from, like, low-income housing insulation.
You know, you can use the same material, just manufactured in a different way, perhaps. Is this Pretium? Is this what it felt like when you got super into ducks? Like, you're just, like, all encapsulated
by a particular topic. Angela
Rummond
is our duck.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm looking at, like, right now, I see somebody left a bad review for her vegan cookbook on the 7th, but they did it on the wrong book.
Oh.
So they're harping on the vegan cookbook. I don't think her second book is a vegan cookbook, is it? I don't think so. This other one with the blue. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Imagine if it was. Imagine if you just thought that her experience is like, anyway, here's a nice recipe for vegan couscous.
Yeah, just in case you need it. Oh my God, 246 pages for Unbothered. Break down the boulders between you and your true potential.
Yeah, this is interesting. I think I'm looking at this same review from Pretium. This book fails in both recipes and storytelling. The recipes feel either pulled from the first results on Google or are just underwhelmingly bland. There is nothing unique we'll find in these recipes, especially if you own more than one vegan cookbook as I do. The filler pages have cute pictures, but the backstory doesn't seem genuine, nor are they particularly exciting to read. I definitely save the money.
Is storytelling a thing that you do in cookbooks?
Okay, that is literally my least favorite part of every freaking recipe online. It's like you click on the recipe. And
I've
then there's
read
like
a cookbook, so I don't know, but
I don't know about cook I've got some cookbooks here, but I don't know about cookbooks, but definitely the ones online have like the whole story of how the person met their ex somewhere yeah. while they were, you know, bungee jumping, and that helped them create their recipe for mushroom risotto, you know, and like it's so annoying. It's always at the top and like it doesn't load. Ugh, it's always so annoying.
Yeah. My wife looks at like blogs online and stuff, and she tells me a lot of the time it's like half the page is just to get to the recipe. And she's like, gosh, it's just like, I want the recipe. Just give me the recipe.
Yes.
I need to learn about how you like met your husband like 20 years ago or something.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, maybe. So now this makes sense, right? Angela writes in her book description, turn $200 into a six-figure business, piece of cake. And what I don't realize is that it's actually a recipe for a piece of cake. And it just happens to have the story prefacing it is how she turned it $200 into a six-figure business. And that's why people are so angry at the storytelling. Liana is open to cookbook, by the way, as we're talking.
All right, so now. I have Jamie Oliver's Jamie's Food Revolution, which is a book that I believe my mom bought for me that I don't think I've cooked a single recipe out of. Don't tell my mother. No, I can't see storytelling. We just go from recipe to recipe.
All right, so Jamie Oliver cuts to the point. Like, I think Angela's putting in a lot of chaff here to the wheat that is assumingly included in these vegan recipes.
Yeah, I mean, broccoli with Asian dressing, minted peas. We're just getting right into it.
Are they are they boring, though?
Ooh, well, that was basic stew. So
maybe just all vegan recipes are basic.
Well, I think that one, you know, this is not necessarily a vegan cookbook. Although this is a spring vegetable and bean soup, so that one is probably vegan. But no, I guess to answer the question is no. I at least from my sample size of one, storytelling is not an important part of cookbooks.
I feel like that would be, I don't know. I feel like maybe it just speaks to the fact that I'm not a big cook and I'm more of a storyteller. I would focus on that personally if I was writing a cookbook, like putting a narrative to it.
Now, have you and Angela ever considered writing a cookbook, Mike?
But mine would be entirely fictional.
A fictional cookbook?
Like, she would write the recipes and I'd be like, Marlene tore into the house. You murdered my husband, Roberto, said Marlene. Hold on, I'm just making this three bean chili with saffron, said Roberto. Turn the page to find out what Roberto was cooking.
That could be interesting. I would, yeah. That was the most interesting I've ever been in hearing somebody talk about a cookbook.
Same. I would actually read that because then it's like the next each page like tells a story from the, you know, the novel, right? And you get a recipe associated with that. That could be fun.
You know what? Actually, I think that actually might be a legitimately good idea. I'm like 1 for 100 on good ideas on this podcast.
All right. I'll write that down next to Hold Me Closer, Tiny Vito.
That should be also, they do this competition again, that should be the next, like, the name of the next version of it.
Yeah, microbrews, I think.
Yeah, and they really get to, and the winners get to see Elton John in concert or something when he goes to perform at the Big Brother house.
I mean, with quarantine, everybody's stuck at home, right? So, you know, people aren't touring, they're not doing their normal shows. Who knows who we could get?
It really is a natural line between Bebe Rexha and Elton John.
I mean, pretty much the same.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Peridium, every week we like to highlight a different cause or charity here on the B&B that's going on outside of the house. Spotlight's on you as our guest of honor this week. Is there any particular cause or charity you want to highlight?
Yeah, sure. I guess the one that I volunteer with, I've been volunteering with for years now, and I'm a big animal lover, so I would just say I would talk about the SPCA, which is the Society for Prevention of Cruelty of Animals. And I go volunteer. I've been doing it every week for years. That's where I got my cat, actually. It was at our local SPCA in Anne Arundel County, which is in Maryland, but it's also statewide. It's a countrywide thing, but if I were to bring up one of them, I would throw out the Anne Arundel version, only because I can speak on behalf of them. But yeah, Anne Arundel County SPCA, basically, they have a high, like above a 98% chance of keeping the animal alive. They are in a no-kill shelter. And it's just how I always recommend to anyone who's looking to get an animal is to go adopt it. Preferably not from a breeder, but I understand it. It's, you know, it is what it is.
We got my most recent cat was from SPCA. So I'm also very familiar with the work that they do. So it's I also recommend.
That's awesome. Yeah, straight from the Goose Boys, Bill.
Yeah. SPCA. I don't have geese, unfortunately, not that I'm aware
no
of.
No ducks.
No ducks. Although I think on their website they have like they might have like chicks or something. I don't know. Maybe ducklings. Oh, I'm not sure.
Get that moisturizer handy.
But I've never seen them in person, so.
Well, be sure to check that out, especially, you know, in these times we are all staying indoors more, and obviously companionship is key as everyone sort of deals with their mental health in these tough times. So yeah, be sure to check that out if you have the abilities and wherewithal to have an animal. They absolutely make your life, and you made our days Peridium in coming on here and submitting yourself as per usual to our shenanigans. You're always such a great and fun guest. Thank you for taking a break to get into the zaniness of the B&B, submitting yourself to our machine. I don't think it's as sexual as the giant dildo. Hopefully not, but thank you so much for coming on. For people who, for some reason, maybe they're living in their own moon rock, might not know the work that you do. Why don't you talk a bit about your YouTube channel and what you have coming up?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for having me, of course. I think I've done this almost every other season of Survivor Big Brother now, so I'm just thankful to anytime I get a message from you, I'm like, oh, awesome. I run a YouTube channel, and it's called Peridiam, P-E-R-I-D-I-A-M, and I make weekly videos about Survivor and Big Brother, depending on what's happening, what's on the air. If Big Brother's on, I talk about Big Brother. Survivor's on, I talk about Survivor. If neither are on, I just sort of pull a topic out of a hat, and sometimes I talk about what's happening on the latest season, and sometimes I talk about what's happened 20 years ago. Next video coming up, talking about the top five most robbed Big Brother players, and this is a video that I am going to be very like, I gave two disclaimers, one at the beginning and one at the end of the video, saying I don't hate Big Brother, but I do hate this. I really hate this part of the show. And I'm almost afraid this might be the one video that like pisses CBS off a little bit, because I basically called them out a couple of times. And I'm like, I don't know what happened here, but this is like something smells fishy. It doesn't smell very nice with this, what we're doing with these robbing these players. So, but yes, I make a video every week, usually hopefully not trying to poke the bear too much. But, yeah,
and you can find unlike those house guests manning the veto competition as well, just poking everyone in celebration. And also, I know that you have a Patreon up as well as a Discord.
Thank you for I've never shouted that or plugged it before, but yes, I do have a Patreon that goes along with it. You can find all the links. If you go to my channel, all the links are there on any video description. Patreon, Peridiam. I have a Discord. It's open to everyone. Anyone who wants to talk about Survivor, Big Brother, The Challenge, Amazing Race, or just anything else, you can go there. It's an open Discord server. And I will be hopefully soon starting my Twitch channel and getting that going off the ground. I'm looking forward to that. Again, talking about Survivor and Big Brother. It's all I do every day anyway. So, you know, figure let's have you guys throw questions at me in real time, and I will respond to them, hopefully. And yeah, play some games, chill out, have a good time, and hopefully we get through Big Brother 22 in one piece.
Yeah, that's that really is the hope. Like the fire hydrant this week. Hopefully we can get through and
piece everything together.
Yeah.
Liana, what do you have going on?
Okay, so you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. I am, of course, doing the morning updates with Taryn on Saturdays. But more excitingly, I am back with Puya Zamakili to talk about The Masked Singer. I am so stupidly excited because, like we talked about, Big Brother has not always been the easiest season to cover with Big Brother 22. So I am just looking forward to something that is so stupid and silly and absolutely ridiculous that I can just, you know, not worry about everything else that's going on and watch a costume that sort of looks like Cousin It got tie-dyed, or, you know, the freaking lips, which are just giant lips with arms like sticking out of the lips, like not even from the side. It's like out from the mouth, which is just such a weird choice. They also have Baby Alien, which is legitimately a freaking puppet. It's Oh my God. Anyway, so Puyi and I broke down. We did a draft of all of the costumes based on literally no information other than just seeing the costumes themselves. So that will be out in the reality TV wrap-ups feed as well as our very own Masked Singer feed.
And that's premiering when? This coming week?
Oh, I don't know if you heard. Yeah, it's September 23rd at 8 p.m. on Fox. So now it's going to conflict with Big Brother. So make your choice wisely.
Head to head. Well, you can always follow me at a Mike Bloom type. In addition to the B&B, I'm also going to be continuing the Big Brother silliness. I'm going to be on The Slop this week with Rob Cesarino. No freaking clue what we're going to talk about, but it should be an enjoyable time as usual. I think we're probably going to be talking a lot about nipples, which mm-hmm. is honestly in my wheelhouse, even if that wheel is the size of a dime, not necessarily a quarter. So be sure to check that out. Of course, I'm doing exit press for Parade. Got to talk with Ian Terry, with the new institution of the jury. Full disclosure, we are only able to submit 6 questions to the jurors. So if all of our interviews are a little on the shorter side than usual, you'll realize why. But I think Ian, brought up some really interesting points about his own game. We did the word association as per usual. So be sure to check that out at parade.com. Over on Down the Hatch, we had a double dose. Not only did Josh Wegler and I do our own recap of season 3, episode 7, but true to the title, we also had Rob Cesarino and Akiva Wieneker on, who also just celebrated their 100th episode. Talk about their respective paths with Lost. A lot of banter, a lot of going down other paths in the jungle that don't even resemble Lost, but it was a lot of fun, so be sure to check all that out. So next week, as I mentioned before, we're going to be back with the great Ali Lasher. Debatable or not whether or not she is a Goose fan, we shall see as we break down week 7. We are entering the back half, and like Ian Terry, will this be a tiny rear? We'll find out. I'm sure we'll see. If you have any game ideas about Big Brother 22 or Big Brother otherwise, we are raring to go to talk about them. So email us, rhapbnb@gmail.com, or even just send us something and use #RHAPBNB, even if it's like theories as to where Julie Chen is getting these sayings, because I think we have a couple of leads out right now that we could prospectively follow. Thank you all so much for listening. It's been a lot of fun to get to do these podcasts. I hope you all are enjoying them, even amidst some of the gripes that we have with this season. I'm so happy that we get to do this, and I can't wait to keep going through the second half of Big Brother 22 as well, right on down to the end. Again, we'll be back next week with Ali Lasher. Thank you so much, Peridium. Thank you so much, Liana. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes. And Wolf from America for his awesome theme song. We'll check you out at your next stay.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.